This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وولا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome everybody to a juz a day. Today we are looking at the seventh juz, and today the seventh juz that we will be looking at has the last part of Surah Al-Ma'idah and the first part of Surah An'am. Surah Al-Ma'idah is the fifth surah, Surah An'am is the sixth surah, and that is what we have with us today. Surah An'am is about, will cover about half of Surah An'am in today's juz, and the rest of it will finish, inshallah, tomorrow. That said, let's get started. Those of you who are on Facebook, my apologies today. I cannot connect through the screen sharing, the Zoom app. So you will have to just be like this on the from the phone. My apologies for that, inshallah ta'ala. But I hope you can hear me all right, both online on Facebook and also on the Zoom class. Yes? Someone can just give me like a yes or no, that will be great. Thank you very much. Perfect. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khairan. Let us get started. If you remember last time, I had... Alhamdulillah, thank you for that on the Facebook page as well. So if you remember last time, we had discussed at the very end of this, Isa alayhi salam, the story of Isa alayhi salam, how Allah described him and described his mother as two human beings, two great human beings, but not gods, not a manifestation of God in any way. كَانَ يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ Allah said about them that they both would consume food, i.e. they both are mere mortals. How can they be gods if they're just mere mortals? So that was the topic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left with in the last juz. And then he picks up something very interesting in this next juz, ayah number 82 of the surah, that's the first ayah of the juz, in which Allah says, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ قِسِّيسِينَ وَرُهْبَانًا وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Okay. I don't know why this is not hiding the taskbar, but khalas. You will find the bitterest in their enmity to the faithful, to the believers, to the Muslim, the people who are the Jews and the polytheists. And the nearest in affection to them are those who say, Inna Nasara, we are Christians. That is because there are priests and monks among them, and because they are free of pride. This is a very beautiful passage that describes that, you know, there is a sense, especially historically, there was a sense of mutual respect between the Christians and the Muslims. And that was largely because there are people who are qissisin, priests and ruhban and monks who would worship Allah, even though they had some problems with their theology, but they were people who were devoted to God, and that good quality allowed them to coexist with other faith traditions. This is, of course, not talking about the criminal crusaders, those who looted and pillaged and whatnot. It's talking about those who are qissisin and ruhban, these priests and monks who are free of pride. And there was always a sense of mutual respect between the two faiths for many parts of history. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala references that in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And this is again the theme of the Quran, as I mentioned. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticizes a people, He also mentions that they're good people as well. And here you see that thing continuing. Now there was a specific group of people that came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they visited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanting to learn about Islam. They were Christians. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them the message of Islam, and when he gave them the message of Islam, they accepted Islam. They were actually from Abyssinia, from Africa, and they were Christians. And their response to the Prophet ﷺ was so phenomenal that Allah records it here in this surah, ayah 83. وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. When they listen to what has been sent down to the messenger, you see their tears overflowing, or you see their eyes overflowing with tears because of the truth that they recognize. They say, "Our Lord, we believe, so count us among those who bear witness." And they say, وَمَا لَنَا لَا نُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ. Why should we not believe in God and in the truth that has come to us? We yearn for our Lord to admit us among the righteous. So, and for the words that they said, for their words, God will reward them with gardens through which rivers flow, wherein they shall abide forever. And that is the reward of those who do good. This is ayah number 83 to 85 of Surah 5, Surah Al-Ma'idah. And this is a beautiful passage that shows how when someone recognizes the truth, the emotion, the experience of finding the truth, looking for the truth, and then the experience of finding it, it's so powerful, it moves people to tears. تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمِ. And that is a beautiful sensation, that's a beautiful emotion. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said that the tears that flow from a person's eyes when they remember God, that is one of the most pristine experiences. The one who experiences that is sheltered on the Day of Judgment from the punishment of Allah. And we see this from these people who recognize the truth. Anybody who accepted Islam would also share that experience, the experience of being overwhelmed by tears when you finally recognize the truth and accept it. And it's a beautiful passage that pays homage to that. Also, amazingly, amazing thing to notice here is people in the Quran are talked about righteous people, the ones who believe and do good. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Always deeds and statements and actions are mentioned together. But in this case, for these people, subhanAllah, Allah says, by mere virtue of what they said, فَأَثَابَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِمَا قَالُوا. Just because of the gravity of their words, the sincerity of their words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them paradise. Because they were so sincere in what they had said. And sometimes that sincere statement can elevate a person to paradise. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, that a person could say something good, لا يلقي لها بالا, and they don't care, they don't even consider what they've said to be important. And because of what they've said, they are elevated in paradise. And on the flip side, a person could say something not caring for what they had said, and because of what they have said, yahwi bihi or yahwi biha fi nari jahannam, it causes them to tumble in the fire of hell. So what we say is very critical. We have to be very careful about what we say, and particularly when something is said truthfully, sincerely, comes from the heart, it means a lot. And you see that from this ayah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded them for the sincerity of their statements. Okay, next up in Surah Ma'idah. Again, the theme of Surah Ma'idah was fulfilling our commitments to Allah, fulfilling our commitments to the people. Now we are going to learn about some important rulings, some important ahkam that are our commitments to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one of those is Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُحَرِّمُوا طَيِّبَاتِ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Believers, do not forbid the wholesome good things which Allah has made lawful to you. But Allah has made halal, don't make haram. Okay? Because that is transgression. وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. Do not transgress. Indeed, Allah does not love those who are transgressors. وَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ. And happily eat from the lawful and wholesome things that God has given you. But fear Him. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. Be conscious of Him. Because you believe in Him, that He is the one that you believe in. So be conscious of Him. Not making things halal, not making things that are halal into haram is part of piety, our commitment to Allah. Not making things that are haram into halal is also part of piety, part of our commitment to Allah. It is not something admirable to make something that Allah has made permissible and exclude that as something that is not permissible, that is impermissible. In fact, piety is what Allah has said halal. We are happily abiding by that, and we're happily indulging in that. What He has said haram, we happily stay away from that, and take our precautions against that. Okay, so that is not that. Also, as part of our commitment to our faith, is again honoring what we say. Okay, He will call you to account for your oaths. If I give you my word should mean something. My word is my bond, like they say. Okay, so if I've given you my word, and then I take an oath by it, by saying, by Allah, I'll do it. Now that becomes binding, and I must fulfill it. And if I don't fulfill it, then this ayah number 89 says, فَكَفَّارَتُهُ إِطَعَامُ عَشَرَةِ مَسَاكِينَ مِنْ أَوْسَطِ مَا تُطْعِمُونَ أَهْلِيكُمْ. Then the expiation for a broken oath is the feeding of 10 needy people, such food that you normally would offer your own people, or clothing of 10 people, or freeing of one slave. Freeing a slave in the Quran is a very important theme. It is an expiation for many sins, because that is an act that's encouraged to free a person who is in bondage. It's like giving them a new lease of life. That is what Allah says when it comes to our oaths. وَاحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ. Keep your oaths. Don't take it so lightly. Don't just say wallahi after every statement. Be careful. Be precise in what you commit to, and when you commit to it, and then you take an oath by it, fulfill your commitment, because Allah then will take us to task. And our words that we say, again, the idea of words and the importance of it, what we say is critical. Another commitment that we have is alcohol, gambling, astrology, movement of stars. These are things that are banned. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ayah 90. Innama al-khamru wal-maysiru wal-ansabu wal-azlamu. Rijsum min amal ash-shaytan fajtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun. Believers, intoxicants, gambling, that the dedication of stones and divining arrows is al-ansabu wal-azlam. Better translation of it is astrology, and believing in the movement of stars. You know, like we say, the stars have aligned. No, they haven't. We don't believe in that stuff. That's superstitions. We throw that out in the garbage. Okay, stars are Allah's creation. We look at astronomy and we wonder in amazement, and we use the stars for finding directions. The North Star tells us where the north direction is at all times. But we don't believe in superstitions. You were born in a certain month doesn't make you somehow susceptible to certain behavioral characteristics. It doesn't. Okay, it's all superstitious beliefs. Astrology has nothing to do with reality. And in fact, astrology is a type, or believing in it like seriously, not just like a casual belief, but serious belief in it, is actually a major problem, because you are attributing destiny and power to a creation of Allah, wherein power and destiny is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not for anybody else. So that is what Al-Ansabu wal-Azlam is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bans that. Also bans Al-Khamr, alcohol and intoxicants. Okay? They are, Al-Khamr is something that covers. You know, Khimar is like a cloth that will cover a person. Al-Khamr literally clouds your judgment. In Islam, our brain is very important. Our ability to be rational beings is critical to our identity as humans and as Muslims. How can you then consume something that eats away at that identity? Al-Khamr. Al-Maysir, which is gambling. Gambling is something that is a zero-sum game. I win, you lose, or you win, and I lose. And that kind of transaction is setting one up for failure. At least one party is going to fail, and fail miserably. And the consequences of it are ripple effects that affect many, many people and society at large. And Allah has banned that. He says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. What happens when a society indulges in alcohol and gambling? It sows enmity and hatred among people. Okay, And it keeps people away from the remembrance of God and from prayers. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ Will you not then abstain? Beautiful commands from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wisdom is provided. Why is also mentioned along with the what. What, don't indulge in alcohol or gambling or astrology or believe in the movement of stars as having something to do with your life. But then the why is mentioned as well, because it creates animosity and hatred. The one who won the bet, the others will hate him. It causes trouble in society. Alcohol is one of the major killers of people. Drunk drivers kill how many people, per year? All of that is our vices that society will then have to bear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them. And also personal vices. It keeps a person away from remembrance of Allah and from salah. So all of those things, the what is mentioned, and then the why is also mentioned. Surah Ma'idah, ayah number 91. Also what is mentioned in ayah 93, very briefly, I can't explain this too much, is how it's expected someone who is addicted, it will be a process to get over your addiction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledges that and mentions that as long as فِيمَا طَعِمُوا إِذَا مَتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ As long as the person fears God, believes in Him, and does good works. I.e., we're expected to try to break our addictions, but as is the case with addictions, a person will relapse. It is okay to relapse as long as the person tries again and believes Allah and fears Him and tries again until, inshallah, finally the addiction is broken. And wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin, Allah loves those who does good. So that is the motivation, the incentive that Allah provides. Also what's mentioned is a very interesting passage. Hunting in ihram. When I do umrah workshops, I always tell people, one of the things you can't do is hunt. And then people don't get the joke that I make afterwards, which is no one's going to hunt in ihram these days anyway, right? But back in the day, ihram, hunting was a big way of acquiring food. Today we can just buy, al-baked chicken or McDonald's from when we go for Umrah. But back in the day, you couldn't just buy food. You had to hunt for your food or you had to carry your food. So hunting was a big deal. And in Ihram, people with the Sahaba were banned from hunting. And these two ayat actually talk about that. And the idea here is that hunting is an easy thing. It was easy. If the opportunity to hunt is there, but be mindful of Allah. Keep your commitment because Allah is watching. That is something that is prohibited, and that those rulings are mentioned here. Also, what's mentioned here is the sanctity of the Kaaba. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامِ قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ وَالشَّهْرَ الْحَرَامِ وَالْهَدِيَ وَالْقَلَائِدِ This is the good culture. This is the good culture that we believe in, that Allah has made the Kaaba, the sacred house, as a means of support for mankind, as well as the sacred month, and the rituals of the Hajj. This is a beautiful ayah. I will actually return to this ayah in surah number 29 when we get there, which talks about how the Kaaba was really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of ensuring peace and security in a society that had really no one to enforce laws or to have any sort of rules and regulations. The Kaaba and the sacrificial animals were a way that Allah propped up peace. The Shahr al-Haram, which is a tradition of Abraham, was the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maintained peace in the Arabian Peninsula for millennia, subhanallah. And that shows you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, this is the tradition of Ibrahim, this is the millah of Ibrahim, and that has, sanctity. And this is the good culture of that is inherited from a prophet. Whereas there is cultural baggage that a person will have. For example, ayah number 103, the Arabs had all sorts of superstitions. I told you about the superstitions of, astrology and believing in the movement of stars. They would have superstitions with regards to animals. Animals such as Bahira, Sa'iba, Wasila, Wala Ham. These are animals that, for example, a animal like a camel that would have, for example, a small goat that would give birth to like seven children. So the seventh child was considered somehow to be like a cursed child, or all sorts of these like superstition about how a animal was born. All of these were superstitions. That's the bad culture. That has nothing to do with reality. That has nothing to do with destiny. All of these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has considered to be falsehood, and we shouldn't believe that. وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ And it goes against the idea of reason. There's no reasoning, or there's no rhyme or reason in these superstitions. So that bad culture, that cultural baggage, we are told to reject. But the good culture that we inherit from our Prophet Ibrahim, we're supposed to uphold and realize and recognize its sanctity. Okay. Also mentioned here is the idea of a testimony, how to write a testimony, particularly when someone's about to die. And that is mentioned in Ayah 106 and Ayah 107, particularly when a person is able to, is writing a testimony when there is no sound witnesses to bear witness to the testimony. Those passages are here as well. And these are all important rulings because they're all our commitments to Allah and they're commitments to people. Our testimony at the time of death is our commitment to our family. So all of those are mentioned in this surah. It concludes with a beautiful passage from Isa alayhi salam. Wallahi, you can make Isa alayhi salam as a theme of this surah as well. How many times his story repeats and he is such a central tenet in this surah. But, you know, we chose the theme to be fulfilling our commitments. Isa alayhi salam returns at the very end of this passage, first by Allah saying, وَيَوْمَ يَجْبَعُ اللَّهُ الرُّسُولَ فَيَقُولُ مَاذَا أُجِبْتُمْ The day when God assembles the messengers and asks them, what was the response that you received from the people? They will reply, we have no knowledge of it. You alone know what is hidden. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ Oh Allah, we don't know what people responded after we died. You are the one who knows. Now specifically Allah will ask Isa alayhi salam, and this is like an interrogation of Isa alayhi salam on the day of judgment. And subhanAllah, can you imagine? The chosen one of Allah, Isa, his word and his spirit being interrogated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Can you imagine what's going to happen to those who claimed divinity for Isa afterwards? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remind Isa, remember all the favors I did to you and your mother. إِذْ أَيَّتُكَ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ I strengthened you with the Holy Spirit. You would speak to the people in childhood and maturity. I taught you the book. إِذْ عَلَّمْتُكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالتَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ I taught you the book, the wisdom, the Torah and the gospel. How you would create miracles by my permission, taking a bird, creating it in the shape of, taking it from clay and fashioning it into the form of a bird, and you would blow into it and it would become, by Allah's permission, a bird. And you will heal the blind and the leper by my permission. And you would bring forth the dead. وَإِذْ تُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِي You would bring the dead to life by my permission. SubhanAllah, miracle after miracle. And then he would remind him, remember how I prevented you, prevented Bani Israel from harming you when they wanted to assassinate you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds him of all these amazing favors. He says, what about your disciples? إِذْ أَوْحَيْتُ إِلَى الْحَوَارِيِّينَ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِي وَبِرَسُولِي Remember when I inspired the disciples to believe in me and my messenger, they replied, we believe, we bear witness that we have submitted. But then subhanAllah, the Hawariyun, the disciples had a very interesting, peculiar request. After having seen all these miracles, miracle after miracle, the Hawariyun say what? They're like, oh Isa, is it possible? هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ رَبُّكَ أَنْ يُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ Can your Lord send down to us from heaven a table spread with food? And that's where the name of the surah comes from, Ma'idah. Okay, now, subhanAllah, Isa alayhi salam says, قَالَ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ Excuse me. Have fear of God if you are true believers. He's almost implying, how many miracles do you guys want? You know, subhanAllah, all these miracles of Isa alayhi salam, and yet all the last miracle you want is a table spread of food. And this is around the time when his assassination attempts have ramped up in the Christian tradition. This is the Last Supper. Now the disciples say, well, nuridu an na'kula minha, we want to eat from it, and we want to satisfy our hearts, and we know, and so that we know that what you have told us is the truth, and we shall be witnesses to it. This is a very, you know, this request, Isa alayhi salam makes dua that, oh Allah, send down upon us this ma'idah, this table spread of food from heaven that will be a feast for us, for the first of us and for the last of us, and make it a sign from you. Give us sustenance. You are the best of those who sustain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will send it. But whoever denies the truth afterwards, فَإِنِّي أُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا لَا أُعَذِّبُهُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ, I will punish them with a punishment as I have never meted out to anyone else after in the world. This is an important point, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives miracles after miracles after miracles, and people then disbelieve, then the punishment that they receive is unlike the punishment of those who didn't receive miracles. It is a severe punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns of this. And by the way, this theme will come back to us, with us in Surah An'am in the next surah. Because Quraysh wants miracles as well. And we'll see Quraysh demanding miracles. Hey, where is your miracle, O Prophet? And we'll see Allah's response to that as well. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. Then Allah asks Isa, back to the topic at hand, that, O Isa, did you say to my people, did you say to people, take me and my mother as two deities besides God? He will answer, glory be to you. How could I ever say that to which I have no right? He is going to say, I never said anything like that. And how could I have said that when I have no right to say it? SubhanAllah. In kuntu qultuhu, faqad alimtahu. If I had ever said so, you would have surely known it, O Allah. Okay? Look at the amazing response of Isa alayhi salam. Okay? He's like, I have no right to say it. I never said it. I have no right to ever say it. And if I ever said it, hypothetically, you would have known it. تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي. You know what is in my mind, while I do not know anything that is within yours. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. You are the knower of the unseen things. I only said to them, مَا قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَمَرْتَنِي بِهِ. I only said to them that which you commanded me, which is, أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ. Worship me, worship God, who is my Lord and your Lord. And I was there watching over them, telling them to do this as long as I was alive. But once, فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي, once you took my soul, you watched over them. And you are a witness of over all things. And he says, O Allah, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. SubhanAllah, this is an amazing statement. If you punish them, then they are surely your servants. It's your right to punish them, O Allah. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, and if you forgive them, then surely you are the mighty and the wise. You are the one who is powerful. You are the one who's capable of doing so. The Prophet ﷺ would make this dua frequently. And it's a very, very moving ayah of how Isa ﷺ makes a case for his own people that, oh Allah, you know, forgive them. Despite the fact that because of their actions, he's being asked. Because of their mistakes, he's been asked. Because of their lack of belief, you're asking the Prophet of Allah, who was born as a miracle, for a final miracle when he is about to be, you know, when he's being hunted down. You know, what kind of, you know, support are you providing to your prophet? But despite all of their wrongs and all of their shortcomings, Isa al-Islam is still going to bat for them, subhanAllah, on the day of judgment. And that shows you the amazing nature of him, alayhi salam. And Allah then concludes by saying, this is the day, هَذَا يَوْمُ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. This is the day when the truthful will benefit from their truthfulness. They shall forever dwell in gardens through which rivers flow. God is pleased with them and they are with him. And that is the supreme triumph. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. The amazing thing is, يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. The truthful will benefit from their truthfulness. You tell the truth in this life, that's your habit, that is your identity. And on the day of judgment, that identity will be what protects a person. And that is what's going to help them not get into trouble, not go to the fire hell. The idea of a person telling the truth and living the truth, that is the identity, or that is the quality that protects a person from the punishment in the fire, punishment in the next life. And the promise of Allah comes full circle. The promise of Allah here in this surah comes full circle. It began by telling us to fulfill our commitments. Awfu bil uqud, that was the first ayah. The ayah at the very end of this surah says, the one who tells the truth will benefit on the day of judgment. I.e., if fulfilling commitments, telling the truth, being honest, keeping our word is our identity, that's what we do, then the day of judgment, we will stand to be happy campers, benefiting for all those good habits. That's a beautiful way how the surah starts with the topic and circles back and ends with it. Next is Suratul An'am. Suratul An'am's name comes from the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ حَمُولَةً وَفَرْشًا. This is towards the end of the surah. And it's because it mentions something interesting about like the categories of an'am, which is livestock. Okay, and it mentions it in an interesting way in the next juz, which we will talk about when we get there, inshallah. This is ayah number 142, where the name of the surah comes from. Now let's go back to the beginning of the surah, though. That we will deal with next day and tomorrow, inshallah, because in the 8th juz, that ayah will come. Now, Surah An'am is another long surah. And this surah, unlike the ones before it, is a Meccan surah. Okay? It's a surah revealed before the Prophet ﷺ left Mecca to go to Medina. According to many scholars, it was the last or one of the last surahs revealed before the Prophet ﷺ left from Mecca to go to Medina. And also, it was revealed in one shot, meaning all of the surah was revealed all together. And that is a unique characteristic. That is not the case with the surahs before. The surahs before, ayat were revealed here and there. This surah, the whole thing came down together. Okay? And according to the majority, this was the last thing revealed in Mecca. And why is this significant? Because it's kind of like the final warning that Allah gives to Quraysh. The people of Mecca, who were the inhabitants of Mecca, where the Prophet's son was born and raised, the Prophet's own tribe, who turned on him and became his enemies. This is like their final warning, Surah An'am. So this is a surah that has a very clear message. It is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then to worship Him exclusively. That is the message of this surah. Recognize Allah, and particularly recognizing him through His signs. The signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are all around us. The signs of Allah that are in the book. The signs of Allah that you can use, deduce logically. And then, after you recognize Allah, not just say, okay, cool, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, I recognize Him. No, that means that leads to worshipping Him exclusively. That is the theme of Surah An'am. And the major discussion points here are about worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how, this is the critical part of our lives. This is, like the purpose of our lives. Revelation and messengers. What does it mean when Allah sends a messenger? Is this messenger, is he like a ATM machine? If you tell him, give me money, he just spits out cash. Is he like a restaurant? When you tell him, I want this on my shawarma, he'll make you a custom miracle and serve it to you. Like, what's a messenger, right? That discussion, a very important discussion that happens here, because Quraysh were thinking of the Prophet ﷺ like an ATM machine. Hey, turn this mountain into gold. All right, we want this kind of miracle. Can you give it to us now? That's how they were treating it, as a joke. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, what is the reality here? Who are you exactly dealing with? And then the resurrection and accountability. The idea that everything in life we are going to do now, these are there's choices we make, and those choices that we make have consequences in the akhirah. And it's written down, and that accountability is a key piece of the puzzle. All of these three are the major discussion points in Surah An'am. Let's go through one by one from the beginning of the surah. Surah An'am begins very beautifully. Alhamdulillah. amazing start to the surah. Alhamdulillahilladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal arda wa ja'ala adh-dhulumati wan nur thumma alladhina kafaru bi rabbihim ya'dilun. Praise be to Allah, praise be to God. Better translation is all praise is for God, who has created the heavens and the earth and brought into being darkness and light. Yet those who deny the truth set up equals to their Lord. An interesting beginning. Compare that to the end of the last juz, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks Isa alayhi salam, "Hey Isa, did you tell people to worship worship you and your mother as deities?" And he said, "No, absolutely not." Okay? So that surah ended with Isa alayhi salam saying, "I didn't tell anybody to worship other than Allah." And here Allah says, yet there are people who continue to set up equals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite all the evidence to the contrary. Ja'ala dhulumati wa nur, darkness and light. What the translation doesn't capture is darkness is in plural, al-dhulumat, and nur is singular, meaning there's many types of darkness, and there is really one type of light. And the darkness that is referenced here is all types of disbelief, all types of deviance is likened to darkness. And the truth of Islam is likened to the light. When a person is in darkness, or as in a situation or in a room that's dark, it's uncomfortable, it's scary, it's not a normal state of being. Being in a well-lit room, being in an illuminated place, it's a comforting feeling. That's what Islam is supposed to be, a source of comfort for us. It's supposed to be illuminating. It's supposed to, relax us and calm us down, give us assurances. And anything else is dhulumat. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it or likens it with. Okay, He reminds us that creation and resurrection are very closely related. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن طِينٍ. Creation. He created you out of clay. This is talking about our father Adam alayhi salam, or it could be in reference to the fact that whatever we consume comes out of the earth, and that's the source of our nutrition, and that is essentially what we are built of. Okay? ثُمَّ قَضَى أَجَلًا. And then He decreed a term for you. We have a number of years we live. وَأَجَلٌ مُسَمَّنْ عِنْدَهُ ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ تَنْتَرُونَ. And then there is a term known only to Him. The time we die and the time we are resurrected. SubhanAllah. The creation and resurrection. This is a Quranic theme. They're mentioned together. Allah created us not just because we are to live and be happy, but He created us and reminded us at every turn this creation is temporary and you are going to be brought back to life to be held accountable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the attitude of Quraysh. How pathetic their attitude is. That they are constantly seeking a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, Allah says, وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا فِي قِرْطَاسٍ فَلَمَسُوهُ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ لَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. Even if we had sent down to you a book written on parchment, like it's coming from the sky, okay, and it's written on parchment, فَلَمَسُوهُ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ. Now they're touching it with their hands. Imagine, there's like a group of people coming and touching this book. They're like, whoa, this is real. Still, they would say, لَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. Those who deny the truth will say, this is a magic trick. This is sorcery. We have been bewitched here. This is sihrun mubin. Even if hypothetically Allah would do that, they would still deny it. وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ مَلَكٌ. Why has an angel not been sent down to him? Allah says, وَلَوْ أَنزَلْنَا مَلَكًا لَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ ثُمَّ لَا يُنظَرُونَ. Ayah number 8. If we did send down an angel, the matter would have been settled and they would not have been granted any respite. What is this? What is Allah saying here? He's saying that the angels of Allah don't come down to show themselves to people and be like, hey, believe in Allah now, okay? And that's not what angels come down for. Angels either come down to the prophets with revelation, or they come down to believers as a source of reassurance. But when Allah sends an angel down to a disbelieving people, that angel is only coming with one thing, and that is the punishment of Allah. وَلَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ The matter would be settled. If you're really asking for an angel, understand the angel is going to come with the punishment of Allah. This is, as you see, the way, the tone of this surah is very tough. It's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, exhausting their excuses completely and rubbishing them in the process, because these are truly rubbish excuses. How come there's no angel? Well, actually the angel comes to him with the revelation. How come there is no book? Well, actually there is a book. The question is, they're constantly questioning, and the reason for their questioning is because they don't want to believe. The reason for trying to find these like excuses of faith is because they actually don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't want to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وقالوا ولو جعلناه ملكا لجعلناه رجلا وللبسنا عليه ما يلبسون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the messengers had been mocked. ولقد استهزئ برسل من قبلك. Messengers have been mocked before you, O Prophet, and that's why you are also treated this way. That's why you are also treated in jest. فَحَاقَ بِالَّذِينَ سَخِرُوا مِنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِيُونَ But those who scoffed were overtaken by the very thing they scoffed at. Meaning they mocked the idea of a prophet and resurrection and being held accountable. And then the thing they mocked, the punishment of Allah, came and overtook them. So subhanAllah, this is what the Prophet is being told. Don't worry. This is what happened to prophets before. That's what's happening to you now as well. Don't worry. The prophets before had the last laugh. You also, O Prophet ﷺ, will have the last laugh in this matter. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about himself. Even though he is seeing and he is mentioning these tough things about punishment, about angels coming with destruction, about people being destroyed, he still says that, look, قُلْ لِمَنْ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلْ لِلَّهِ كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ Say, he has taken it upon himself to be merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that he is actually the most merciful. He is the one who forgives and gives chances again and again and again. He is the one who loves us more than anybody else. Yet, when people continue to deny him, لَيَجْمَعَنَّكُمْ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ He will for sure gather us on the day of judgment. That is beyond any doubt. And that's when he will be just with those people who disbelieved in him, and be merciful to those who believed in him. Okay? This is a beautiful contrast. Lest the surah becomes all about punishment, Allah mentions his mercy, his gentleness, his rahmah, but then returns back to the idea that, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take us to task. Don't think his mercy is to be abused. Absolutely not. Okay? He mentions that Allah is the only one truly worthy of worship. وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ It is he who is, Allah is the one who is the one truly worthy of worship, the creator of the heavens of the earth, فَاطِرِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ The actual translation that's better would be the originator of the skies and the earth, the one who brought them into existence without a previous model to model them off of. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He creates without a previous model in existence before, unlike any other creator. وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ Who feeds all but is fed by none. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sustains everybody, and he doesn't need any sustenance. That is why he is unique, the one and only, and the one and only deserves to be worshipped. Okay. There are some intense scenes from the Day of Judgment that Allah mentions here. Ayah number 27. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ رُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ If you could only see what happens when they are standing before the fire of hell. SubhanAllah, فَقَالُوا, they will say, but in Arabic grammar, this is فَقَالُوا, they said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about the Day of Judgment in the past tense. This is a common Quranic style, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to talk about the Day of Judgment, which is the future, in the past tense, as if it's like a done deal, as if it's like facts, it's already happened. That's how real it is, and that's how real we need it to believe. Or that's how real its threat is, and that's what we need to fear. That is how Allah speaks about the past. فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا. They said, but in reality they will say, if only we could be sent back, and then we would not deny the signs of our Lord, and we will be of the believers. But the truth, بَدَا لَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُخْفُونَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. The truth that they used to hide will become all too clear to them. The thing that was buried inside them. And that's what kufr means. Kufr means to bury something inside, hide it, and cover it up. The thing that they were hiding inside of them. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is, life is not just about eating and drinking and enjoying ourselves. Life, there is something more to it. What they were hiding and making, basically suffocating inside themselves, will now come to light, will become all too clear. وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ. And Allah says, if they were sent back, they would be doing exactly what they were told not to do. What they claim now they would do on the Day of Judgment, if Allah was to send them back hypothetically, guess what they'll be doing? The same thing again, what they were in the world. So it's a very scary scene from the Day of Judgment. And then there is an element of intense regret that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. وَقَالُوا إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَبْعُوثِينَ. There is nothing beyond our life in this world, and we shall not be raised up again from the dead. This is what the people of Quraysh used to say. The people of Quraysh, the people who were inhabitants of Makkah, these people did not believe in the next life. Okay? This is very similar to what the atheists of today say, right? The Quraysh and the atheists have very interesting, shockingly similar beliefs, even though they come from two very different places. Okay, now what's amazing is that this statement of Quraysh, Allah responds to it by saying, "Walau tara idh wuqifu ala rabbihim." If you could only see when they are made to stand before their Lord, He will ask, "Is this not the truth?" Alaysa hada bil haqq. قَالُوا بَلَا وَرَبِّنَا. They will say, yes, by our Lord, it is the truth. قَالَ فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. Then taste the punishment that comes from you, from your having refused to acknowledge the truth. Here's the thing. The one who says the life is only this and there's nothing else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, and this is a very severe response, that when you arrive to the next life, I'll ask you, is it not true? Is a second life not true? And then you will say yes, and that's when it'll be too late for you to recognize. This is a very, very a stern response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like I told you, the sternness in this surah is because it's the last, or one of the last surahs revealed to the people of Makkah. Okay? That's why there is an additional sternness in the tone here. And these are strong words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes it's needed. Sometimes this kind of, these strong words are needed to make or to bring about some change. There's a couple of questions here in the chat. Sorry, I'll quickly answer them. The recordings are all on my YouTube channel, right? You can go and get them there. Also, the Facebook page also has a copy of the recordings. But the YouTube ones is, I think, a little bit higher quality. The class notes I can post, but I update them daily. So what I can do is I can post them and I'll link it, inshallah ta'ala, if that's okay with you all. Okay, I'll link them maybe to the YouTube page, YouTube recording, and even on the Facebook, inshallah ta'ala. Sounds good. If you like to make a Twitter hashtag, by all means, you know, it'll be nice. I'll retweet your hashtag, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan. This, as the Prophet ﷺ is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving these stern warnings, he tells the Prophet ﷺ, قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ. He says, other messengers have been denied, sorry, right here, ayah number 33, قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ O Prophet, we know what they say grieves you. Okay? We know it hurts of what they say about you, O Prophet ﷺ. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ But it is not you that the wrongdoers are rejecting. وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ It is actually that they are rejecting the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not, if you were to compromise with them and say, hey, let's all worship an idol one day and worship Allah only one day, they'll make a deal with you right away. In fact, that was the deal that they wanted to make with the Prophet. So Allah says to the Prophet, it's not you that they're after. You are the messenger of Allah. They want to reject Allah's message, and thus they are also going to reject you. And we know that hurts because these are people who loved you. These are people who loved you. So it was very difficult for the Prophet to bear that. Also very difficult for the Prophet to think of the idea that his people could be destroyed by the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So all of these things were bearing down on him. But Allah says, it is, I know, difficult. It grieves you. But understand, وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ Messengers before were denied. And they bore their rejection with patience. And our help came to them for sure. And وَلَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ There is no change in the words of God, the words of Allah, meaning His way is the same. You will also get the help of Allah. Just remain patient. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكَ مِن نَبَأِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ You have already received some account of those messengers. You've already seen, you've already heard what these messages are like. All right? So that is some of the things that Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, to console him about this the difficult task that he had on him, that he was burdened with. The idea of miracles. Remember the Bani Israel saying to Isa alayhi salam, "Hey, give us ma'idatan min as-sama. We want to eat right before you leave us." Essentially, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talks about this. Okay? وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ The question is, what about miracles? Right? What's a prophet? Is a prophet like a bringer of miracles at like will? Whenever you want, he busts out a miracle for you? No. Right? What is the role of the prophet? وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ They ask, why has no sign been sent down from his Lord? Say, firstly, what about the miracles? Number one point, قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَن يُنَزِّلَ آيَةً God alone has the power to send down a sign. It is Allah's choice. It's not by demand. It's Allah's choice to send down a miracle if and when He chooses. وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Most of these people don't understand this point. Then Allah says something very fascinating. He says, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ Ayah number 38, Surah 6. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ There is not an animal that moves about on the earth. وَلَا طَائِرٍ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْهِ Nor a bird that flies on its two wings. إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ But they are creatures like you. They live in communities like you. Birds have, flocks. Fish have schools. They all live together. Ants have colonies. SubhanAllah. These are creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ We have left nothing out from the book and they shall all be gathered before their Lord. The question is, what about miracles? Those who are like, we want to see a miracle, Allah says to them, look around you, that's where all the miracles are. You want to see miracles of Allah, look around you, you will see plenty of miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to understand, again, the ayah, the theme of the surah is recognize Allah. If you want to recognize Allah, there is enough majesty, more than enough majesty in this world for you to recognize who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. You don't need a miracle. You don't need a miraculous incident to prove to you that there is a God. There is so much evidence all around you. Just look around you. And that is the point that Allah makes about miracles. That the people who generally asked for miracles never really wanted to believe. Look at the case with Fir'aun. Look at the case with, Thamud, right? Look at the case with peoples who demanded miracles. It wasn't just like a verification of their faith. It was often an excuse or an attempt to divert from believing. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala references. The ones who really want to believe, there's enough signs for them around the world. Who is the messenger? What's the role of the messenger? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 50, right? قُلْ لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ Right? A prophet is who? He says, I do not say to you that I possess the treasures of God. And by the way, if this is the case of the prophet, then nobody can claim that. Nobody, no human being, certainly not a follower of the prophet can somehow claim, oh, I know the future or something, right? That's complete bogus, it's complete garbage. That person is making it up, okay? What is it that Allah tells the prophet to say? He says to him, I don't say to you that I possess the treasures of God. I don't have access to Allah's treasures. I don't have access to Allah's wealth. وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ I don't know the unseen. I don't know the future. وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ إِنِّي مَلَكٌ Nor do I say that I'm an angel. I'm not a superhuman. I'm not some other being. I'm a human being. إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْ I only follow that which has been revealed to me. That is who I am as a prophet. I am a human and I follow what Allah has revealed to me. If He tells me of the future, I will tell you, but that is from Allah. If I have something, that is from Allah. It's not that I have unlimited access to all of Allah's treasures. That is what Allah tells us about who a prophet is. Okay? قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ أَفَلَا تَتَفَكَّرُونَ Are the blind and the seeing alike? Can you not think? This is a beautiful analogy that Allah gives. Aren't the people who, like, is the one who refuses to see, like the one who chooses to see? And that's the difference that Allah says about the ones who want to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ones who don't. The followers of the messenger, right? This is an interesting point. The people of Quraysh would say, oh Prophet, how can we follow you when Bilal is your follower and Suhaib is your follower and Khabbab is your follower? These, you know, lowly people, how can we sit with them? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, don't turn them away. فَتَطْرُدَهُمْ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ If you ever turn them away, you will become unjust. Allah has chosen them. Allah has chosen these people to be His, believers in His Prophet. Don't turn them away and don't think that this will somehow attract the more elite people. No, this is the people, anybody who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has chosen him or her, right? And when they come to you, say peace upon you. Salamun alaykum. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, as you can see, tearing down the excuses of the people of Quraysh. They would say, well, miracle. Allah says, here are miracles all around you. They were like, well, Prophet of Allah, why doesn't he just tell us the future? Why can't he just give us the punishment? Well, because that's not his role. Well, we can't believe if you have these, lowly people amongst you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects that claim as well and says, no, these are good people. And you have no right to look down upon them. That is actually a type of arrogance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about or mentions beautiful ayat that he has in the universe that will cause us to recognize him and then believe in him. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ He holds the keys to the unseen. None knows them but he. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ He has knowledge of all that the land and sea contain. Not a leaf falls without his knowledge. Not a single grain in the darkness of the earth, nor anything dry or wet, except that it is in the clear record. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is perfect. He is the one who gathers you in at night. يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ Also, he is the one who takes your soul when you are sleeping. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ He knows all that you do by the day. He raises you up during the day so that an appointed term might be completed. The way we go to sleep, the way we wake up with energy, with, hustling and bustling. Then towards the end of the day, we crash, we are out of energy, we go to sleep. And this continuous cycle, day after day, as it repeats, SubhanAllah, this is the system Allah has created, and this continues until a person dies. لِيُقْضَى أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى The system of life Allah created, He says, in that is a sign, and the way He protects you. The surah mentions Ibrahim alayhi salam as a role model. and how Ibrahim alayhi salam conversed with his father. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ آزَرَ أَتَتَّخِذُ أَصْنَامًا آلِهَا. How he had a conversation with his father. Ibrahim alayhi salam's conversation with his father will come again. But here Ibrahim alayhi salam is shown as having looking at the universe to recognize who Allah is. And that's the theme of this surah. Looking at the universe. Looking at the amazing creatures around us. The amazing creation around us. To find and recognize Allah. Ayah number 74 to ayah number 79 describe Ibrahim alayhi salam looking at the night sky, looking at the star, then looking at the moon, then looking at the sun. Not like he's seen them for the first time, but now looking at it from the gaze of the one looking to find who their Lord is, and then realizing inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal arda hanifa. I have set my face with single-minded devotion to the one who has brought all of these into existence, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The juz concludes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, "Inna Allah faliqul habbi wan nawa." More things that we need to do to recognize who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. More of His amazing creation. Look at the universe and take inspiration from it. Study it and take inspiration from it. It is God who splits the seed and the fruit stone. He brings forth the living from the dead and the dead from the living. That is God. How can you then turn away? The idea of faliqul isbah, the one who causes the break of day, how he has made the night for rest and the sun and the moon, they have a precise measure. It's predictable. You can predict every single day when the sun will rise, when it will set, the moon and its phases. You can predict all of this. ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. That is the measure determined by the Almighty, the All-Knowing. Subhanallah. He has made for us the stars for beauty, but also so that we can use them as guidance, navigation. That's the natural GPS that Allah has put for us. All of these amazing things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for us. And then that is so that we can worship Him. Badi'u samawati wal ard, the originator of the heavens and the earth. How could He have a son when He has no consort? Anna yakunu lahu walad walam takun lahu sahiba. Alright? Wa khalaqa kulla shay. He has brought everything into existence. He's not part of the existence as a member of it. He is the one who made it. And that's the why we should worship Him. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ. That is your Lord. There is no God but Him. The Lord, the creator of everything. So worship Him. فَاعْبُدُوهُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٍ. And this is again the theme of this juz, to recognize Allah and then to worship exclusively. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to worship Him exclusively and to recognize Him through His signs in His book and His signs outside His book. Jazakumullah khairan for sticking around to the very end. I appreciate that. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll go to the 8th juz, the end of Surah An'am, and then the beginning of Surah Al-A'raf. I hope to see you all there. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Facebook page or the YouTube page is, if you Google my name, Araj Anwar, on YouTube, that will be like the YouTube channel that comes up, inshallah ta'ala. Okay? If you want,